Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, this morning, we're going to be taking a look into 1 John chapter 4. See what God has there for each one of us. Because we all need more strength. More strength of faith. And more of His power. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as you open your word this morning, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. To guide us, Father. To help us to build our faith to the point that we can be used by the Spirit, Father, to do the work that you have for each of us to do. Be with us throughout this day and this week, Father. Keep us in health and keep us on the pathway of righteousness. Now open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Beginning here with verse 1. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now, already, is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth, and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God loved his brother also. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward to bring to you and I the message that God would have each one of us to receive in our hearts, to help us to walk straight, strong, and godly. You know, we do live here on this earth, but we're not of this earth. Those that are born of God, our kingdom is not here. Our kingdom comes from God. You see, he is our master. He is our ruler. He is our strength. He is our guide. And he also lives within each one of his children. When you really stop and think about that, about what is inside of you, that's awesome. And it's a mighty thing. Because it brings it down to where there is nothing impossible to you. Think about that. And God has already gave us everything we need. You see, that's what the world don't want to hear. Those of the world out here, because they want the things this world's got, instead of looking to God and his kingdom and wanting the things he has and building your life on him and his word. But we are so much better off that know him than those that are in the world out here. When we stop, if we'll just stop and think about it, we do not have to walk in sickness. We walk in sickness because sometimes we make errors. Not necessarily even sin, just an error. A lot of that will consist of things that we kind of take for granted or ignore, that we do very little about, in times that we don't spend enough time with him and in his word. And that's one thing that in this day and time we are finding so much problem with, is spending that time with him. And it's all through this New Testament. Because you see, when you are truly a born-again child of the living God, you are to spend time with him. When you're born into this world, and as you are growing, you spend time with your mother and your earthly father. You want to spend time with them because you feel safe there. It's the same way when you become that born-again child of God. When you first become that born-again child of God, you are a babe in him. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the strength that is needed. That all will come as you grow. If you let it. But so many of us, we keep this away from us because we will not spend the time with it. Then we have those out here that wants nothing at all to do with him. And we're seeing this here in the scripture that we're on this morning. He started out here with verse 1. He says, beloved. Who's he talking to, beloved? He's talking to those that are born again, children of his. And that's who John's talking to here. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. And there is a lot of thoughts that will come into our minds. We all know that as we go through the day. How many thoughts do you have through the day? A lot of them, don't you? And most of them are not of God. So most of them, we really don't need to pay a lot of attention to, only to get rid of them. Because if they're not of God, we don't need them. And he tells us to try the spirits, to make sure whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And we are to check those that claim to be God's children that are not. And especially those that are standing in our pulpits, our podiums today. Because we have so many that are standing there teaching you contrary to the word of the living God. because they're antichrist. We need to be checking and making sure that that's not where we are and who we associate with. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. The only way that you can truly confess that Jesus was truly born here on this earth in the flesh is by knowing him. Now, you can speak that and say, I believe it, but in your heart, is your heart really believing that he has been born here on this earth in the flesh and what he taught was true? Do you really believe that? Or is there doubt there and you really wonder if it ever really happened or not? You see, this is the way Satan works. He can get into your mind. Then he thinks it'll make a way for him to get into the heart. Because you see, it is not that outward part of you that God looks on. It's that inward part. And we're told that in several places in the Word of Almighty God. 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And we've all heard that. You know that. But you don't hear much teaching about it's already here. And not just one Antichrist spirit. He tells us, though, that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, we know that Satan cannot stand against the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been given the authority. If you are a born-again child of God, you have the authority to use that name of Jesus. In fact, you are commanded to use it because Satan cannot stand against that. He can stand against you, but he can't stand against that. He cannot stand against that name of Jesus. That's why we are to use it. That's what gives us the authority. And that's why God put his spirit into you and I. Now, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Those Antichrist spirits, those spirits of Antichrist that's out here in the world. And we know because we hear them all the time, don't we? They're all around us. Don't want to go to church. Don't want to hear the word. They don't want to talk to you about the word because they are interested in things of the world and things that Satan is over out here. You know, Satan is actually the Lord of this world. The Bible calls him the prince. The Bible also calls him the Lord of this world. But you see, he's not our Lord. because we are not of this world. We're just passing through it. We're strangers here. We're just passing through because we belong to the kingdom of Almighty God. And His kingdom is right here on this earth among His people. Now, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. See, the word's telling you exactly what I just was just talking about. There it is in the word. Those that belong to God will hear me. And they will accept what I have to say. But those that are not of this, of God, they don't want to hear it. And they won't hear it from you or me either. We can talk to them, yes, and we are supposed to talk to them. But we know for the most part, it goes one ear and out the other. It don't stop in between. It's already gone by the time we walk away, most of it, because they don't want it. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are to know the truth of God's word. How do you get the truth of God's word? By studying it. And by bringing it into your life and living it. That's the way you get to know it. Just talking about it. It's not really knowing it. We're not to be just hearers. We're to be doers. And we're to take in this word, bring it into our lives and live it. But so many don't. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, if you are born again, then you know God. But if you're not born again, you're not going to know Him. Not really. You may know of Him, and you may be on the way of knowing Him. But until you have put Him on, and you have become that born-again child of God, fulfilled that plan of salvation, of repentance, of accepting Jesus, and then seeking the infilling and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that's when you become born again. And that's when you can really begin walking with the power of God in your life and doing what He'll call upon you to do. And we can all do it. There is things that happens to us and happens in our life that we don't understand until we've gone through it. Going through it is the way we learn. That's like with this that happened to me. I know now why it happened. And I know that God has been with me all through it. Because as I see from where it started on through and see what has taken place, I know God has been with me. It started out When I first put this oxygen on, I had to have it 24 hours a day. I couldn't take it off. Because if I did, I couldn't breathe. But now look at it. I've got to work. Now I'm only using it now part-time. Because he's bringing me out of this now. He's bringing about and fulfilling that healing power. So a lot of times now, through the day, around home and everywhere, I go now 6, 7, 8 hours without oxygen. I come here to church, I preach without oxygen. When I first went into this, I couldn't do that. You all know that. You see me stand here and have to have the oxygen on to preach. And now I don't. I haven't made it all the way through yet. But I'm getting there. And I know I'm going to make it because I know who is with me. And I know who is holding me. Now, here in verse 8, he tells us, he says, he that loveth not, if we don't love mankind and our brothers, he that loveth not knoweth not God. When we don't love mankind, we don't know God. That's his word, not ours. We don't truly know him. Why? The word tells us why, right there. For God is love. He don't just give love, he is love. Nine, in this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And that is what gives you and I eternal life, is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to get eternal life. We all have to go through Jesus. We can't go around him, over him, or under him. We got to go through him. We go through him to God. God goes through him to us. And that Holy Spirit that's in us, we'll make sure we know it. He is the one that really brings us to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. And he's the one also that puts that power through you to do the work God calls you for. 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, no human love gives us the understanding, really, of God's great compassion for us and on us. But you see, God's own action on behalf of mankind, that is what will bring the knowledge and the power to you and I and it comes from God himself, brought to you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to praise him. That's why I was talking about every evening Bible study and prayer, because it's needed. The church needs to be open every day. It don't need to be closed. That's one reason that you find in here, in God's word, where he'll tell you that actually your pastor should not be out here on another job. The church should be keeping him. Well, most of them are. But most of them that are keeping him, they're keeping those that are preaching contrary to his word. Because those that do work and takes nothing out of the church are usually, you'll find, walk with more of the truth of God's word and more of his power in their life, because they'll live what he speaks. But as a church grows and gets to the point to where he cannot work, then he has to depend on the church. You take this church right here. If every seat in here was filled with what seats we have, if every one of them was filled, I'd have a hard time working, because there'd always be somebody needing me. So you take a church that has several hundred or even a thousand or a couple of thousand people, ain't no way that pastor can work. He's got to spend his time in God's word, in prayer, and with the people. Because he is that needed. And it's all written in God's word. We're told. We just don't listen. These out here in the world today is not listening to us. And they'll make every excuse that they can think of to stay out of church. And you're not going to be blessed by God for that way. He's not going to bless you for staying away from him and staying out of his church. Even before the church age began, and under the Mosaic law, they went to the synagogue every day. The synagogue traveled right with them as they traveled. And yet they didn't have what we have today. And we're the ones ignoring it. God's not the one that told the church, well, you meet on Wednesday, and you meet on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and that's enough. No, he don't. He tells you, study his word daily. in the churches back then, the early churches in the beginning, they met daily. And that's what we need to be doing today, because he has not changed. He says he changes not, nor does his word change. We're to live by it, but most are not doing it. Well, right now, I was planning to see on starting to be open every evening. Well, because of another one that has nothing to do with God, says we're going to close this one, because she happens to have the power to say so. But I'll tell you what, when I get the other one going, we're going to be open every day, whether you come or not. It will be open, and there'll be Bible study and prayer there every day. If it ain't nobody there but me and those online, because that's according to God's word. And you can't show me anything different in the Bible. Now, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. See, he's telling us again right there, by loving each other. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. So don't let nobody stand and tell you that there is none perfect, no, not one. Because all of the born-again children of Almighty God has been spiritually perfected. That's God's word, not mine. That's his. He just told you there what helps perfect us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. You see, on our own, no, we're not perfect. Can't be. But when that Holy Spirit moves in, that Holy Spirit's not going to move in to a house that has got sin in it. He won't do it. The Spirit of God will not move in where there's sin. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. These are things man is forgetting. Mankind is forgetting it by the millions. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. You see, we have to go through Jesus. And we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. Do you really? Because you see, that's what we're supposed to be doing. God is love, and he that dwell in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Look how many times we've been told that here just in this one chapter. Look, and this is just a small chapter, 21 verses. and several times. We've been told already that we are in him and he in us if we are born again. 17. Herein is our love made, what? Here's that word again, perfect. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. As the Lord our God is, we are supposed to be that way here in this world. The only way we can be that way is by being born again, filled with that Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That's the only way we can make it. We can't be out here messing with sin. When we do, we don't belong to God. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. You know, it took me quite a while. Even after I got into the ministry, to really understand the meaning of that. Right there. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. Because so many times people would talk against me and want and do things against me, I wanted revenge. Haven't I been eating with him? But then I learned, nope, that ain't the right way. That's not the way you do it. You love him. You pray for him. You love him. You get on your knees. You pray for him or her, whatever the case may be, that they will find the Lord Jesus Christ and their life turns around. And you pray that they'll be able to find a way to make heaven their home. Because even in doing that, if that happens, then they're going to quit talking about you anyway. They're not going to be doing it no more. So we have to help them, not to harm them. Now, 18, here's something going on all around us today. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Are you walking with fear today? Most everybody is. Most everybody is walking in fear. Fear today of what's going on in the world and what's going on around them, what's happening in their lives. That's why they closed our churches. And you see, that pastor that stood behind that podium that went and locked that front door, he don't belong to God. He's following man instead of God. And I don't care who he is. He closed that door in fear of what could happen to him if he didn't. And you know, God will take care of you when you do the things you're supposed to. I didn't close this church door. Didn't stop having meetings. Had them right on. And they knew I was having them because I told them so. Car just pulled in and turned around. Left out again. Now, all right. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect fear casts out fear. Because fear has torment. And you know, when you walk in, there is worry in you. You walking in fear, there's something that's bugging you. So what, you wouldn't be afraid. You got something wandering around up here, wondering what's going to happen, or what you're afraid about. Fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. When you walk with fear, you're not made perfect in love. That's why you hear so many people today say, oh, they ain't nobody perfect. They're walking in fear of what's going on out here and what's going to come against them. But when you are walking in the Word of the living God, you've got no reason to fear. Because what can they do to me? All they can do to me is take me out of this world, send me home. I'd be in a far better place. So why fear it? I'd like most people to tell you, oh, I'm afraid to die. No, I have asked God to give me a couple of years to continue with the message he's been giving me to help others. But I've also told him that when my work is done, bring me home. I'd like to see more of my family find the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got family that's still lost. I've got friends that are lost. And we got a whole bunch out here that we need to be reaching with the Word of Almighty God to help bring in the harvest. That's what we need to be doing. Now, he goes on here to tell us, we love him because he first loved us. Twice in this chapter, we've been told that. Right there. Verse 19. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. When we say that we love God and we don't like mankind, we don't love mankind, the Word said we're a liar. We hold vengeance against anyone. We say we love God. God says we're a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And you'll not see God. You'll not see his face. You may see sometime his shape. Yes, I have. I've stood before him. And I've seen him from the shoulders down. But you'll not see his face. Because his word will tell you, you cannot look on the face of God and live. No man can look on the face of God and live. But he'll let you see the other parts of him. At times, we'll be closing with this. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Once again, we're told to love our brother also. three or four times in that one chapter, we're told to love our brother. And if we love him, then we're going to keep him in mind. We're going to be praying for him. We're going to be doing everything we can do to get him into church. Think about that. A lot of times we don't think, do we? But that's why we have different things come upon us. It's not the idea that we've done any sin. It's the idea that we have overlooked something. And this staying out of church is one of them. Making excuses. I just can't go. I've got this to do. I got that to do out here. That's like with me. With all this that's been going on, all these doctors I've had to go to, 5 different doctors, and none of them actually helping. None of them has actually been what you say help. In fact, I haven't even seen doctors. They'll set me up a doctor's appointment. I get there, I see a nurse. But God will take care of me. Don't worry about it, but I go because I'm supposed to. And God tells me to obey, unless it's contrary to him. So long as it's nothing contrary to him, I'll go. But if it's contrary, I ain't going. They'll call me and they'll tell me, well, now, we're going to set you up an appointment for next week, okay? Now, I got an appointment here for 3:00 Thursday evening. That time, Mark, you know. Oh, you're not available at that time? Yeah. But I've got church too close to it to make it back for church. So they have to set me another time. Because I'm not going to let them make a time to keep me out of church. No. I'm not going to do it. And they'll tell you I won't. Because almost every one of them, I've had to make them change it. Because they wanted me late on Thursday evening. Nope. That's my church time. Of course, to them, see, even those that will go to church, if they have a midweek service, which most today not do it, but even if they do, it's usually on Wednesday. But the thing of it is, we got to quit making excuses and get in to the church. Just like he tells us, he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. He tells us not to forsake it. We're told these things. And yet, Nellie was up late last night. That's why she ain't here. She told me. She says, I can't make it this morning. I'll see you tonight. But you know, that may be and that may not be. Because her staying up don't make an excuse of not being in church. Not in God's eyes. we're to see that we can get to church. And God will work with you. He will work with you to see that it's done. So we can't sit back and say, well, I just can't make it where it'll work. Because when you are a child of God, God will see that you are where you should be. He'll make the way for it. I know. He has given me so many different jobs at different times because one job would get in the way. And they'd tell me, well, that's got to go. My business, I had a big business, working 28 men. He told me, he said, get rid of it. It's in the way. I gave it away. I give it to a brother. He kept it weak and sold it. But I didn't let it stay in my way. He gave me another job that would let me be at church when I needed to be there and do the things I needed to do. And the 3 years I worked as an evangelist, I kept changing jobs because I'd go to work at one place and sooner or later it'd get to work. Well, we need you here. We need you here. No. And God put me somewhere else where I'd be free. I've done construction work. I've done hospital work. I've drove an ambulance. I've been a policeman. I've been security. Work construction. All kinds of construction. I've worked with block players, and then I've poured concrete. Owned a paint company. God seen. It was always something there for me. And the times that I could be where I was supposed to be. But I had to look around. And I had to obey and walk with him. And it took time for me to learn. That's why he tells us in our qualifications to be approved. We are to be approved. Even your deacons are to be approved. Because if they can't function and do their work, you don't need them. And God knew that. He's the one that set it all up. We didn't set it up. Nowadays, yeah, a lot of mankind has set up most of our churches. That's why they're operating like they are. One service a week. Now, I guarantee you, that's not pleasing to God. And then sometimes you'll find, right now, the most you'll find is three services, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and a midweek, Wednesday. That's usually it. That's not the way God set the churches up. It's all in his word. All they have to do is go through his word. And it's all there. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them because they are your people. Now, Father, We know that what we have has come through your people to us. And we do pray for them, Father. And we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, we pray for it. It has turned its back upon the Lord, upon you, and upon your people and your church. Walked so far away and has brought so much evil upon its own people. Help us, Father, to replace those in our government that has done this thing, and to replace them, Father, with ones that will work with us and with the Lord Jesus Christ, with your church, and help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is mentioned, may the Holy Spirit touch that one, Father, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Dennis Lee, James Taylor and myself, Father, Kenny Powers, Terry Coates, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Dennis Breeden, his wife Tina, brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg. Father, we all stand still growing in your word. Keep us all, Father. Keep us all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can learn, Father, to be what we are supposed to be, to do the work you call upon us to do, Father, to serve you. Pastor Small and the Glory Bound Church, Father, we've been praying for this church, and I have noticed that it is no longer Glory Bound. It has another name. I don't know about the pastor there, but this pastor, Father, Pastor Small, I know he has another church in Radcliffe, Father. Be with him. And that church there, whatever it is named now, I pray it will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Randy Johnson, and that little church of God there at Brandenburg, Father, the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, Father, and the little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. These churches, Father, not only lighthouses, but make them places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. And my three pastor friends there in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, take care of them. See that they are kept in health. Their needs are met. Keep them safe, because they are living in land, Father, to where at times if they're caught, will mean imprisonment and death. Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombello and her mother, Sue and Dave Branson, Palance Goodman, Kelly Smith, his wife, Karen. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Some needs spiritual healing. Some needs physical healing. But touch them, Father, in a great and mighty way. We ask the Holy Spirit to work with them, to help them to turn, to find the Lord Jesus Christ and the light of salvation, so that they too can make heaven their home. Now be with us, Father. Guide us. Put us where you want us, Father. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God be with you all. Remember, be with us again this evening at 6 p.m. God willing, we can all be back together again and back into his word. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.